Welcome, everybody. This is Mary McKenzie with NBC Academy, and I'm really thrilled to be here with you today. You are here tonight with Ike Lassiter, who's an NBC facilitator for many, many years. And I'd like to start by asking a question. Have you ever experienced emotional hurt or pain from someone you trusted, like a friend or a family member? I can totally relate to that. I would be surprised if it wasn't true that most of us on the call have experienced some kind of emotional pain or hurt as a result of someone we loved. And it's really natural and even normal for us to bring old hurts into our current relationships. And yet they often get in the way, don't you think? I mean, they actually color our ability to live in full-on love and compassion. For instance, think back on a time when you felt that kind of hurt. Does that initial situation still get in the way of your connection with that person? Or with other people who actually didn't have anything at all to do with the situation? If you think that that initial emotional hurt that you experienced still has an effect on your life and in your relationships today, I think in my life it's the major thing that I deal with, the old hurt that it's so easy to get stuck in a paradigm. It's so easy to get stuck in habit. So if you're like me and you're in for a treat tonight, because Ike Lassiter is here to teach you a process to help you heal those old wounds and to minimize their effect on your current relationship. And that, to me, is the key thing, to minimize their effect on your current relationship. The process he'll be talking about is called Healing and Reconciliation, and it was originally developed by Marshall Rosenberg, who's the founder of Nonviolent Communication. And towards the end of the call, Ike will have a chance to talk about his and John Kenyon's upcoming course called Healing and Reconciliation, which I know he's excited to talk about. Their upcoming course is a 6-session, in-depth course devoted to healing past emotional wounds and replacing those wounds with an experience of liberation and openness. So through this very simple 90-minute call, really, I think it's incredible what we can do in a few minutes. My hope is that you'll walk away with increased trust in your ability to live in the present moment, an increased ability to be empathetic with yourself and others, a practical tool for living your everyday life in harmony with your vision and values, and clarity about whether John Kenyon and Ike Lassiter's upcoming course is a good fit for you. I really love these preview calls for an opportunity for the trainers to highlight their work. It's exciting for them to do that. But then also for you to be able to decide, is it a good fit based on the exercise you're doing tonight? Will it be a good fit for you? So that's what you're in store for. So for now, sit back and relax. I'm excited to turn it over to Ike and to let him teach you a thing or two about how to heal your emotional pain. Ike, I'm turning it over to you.
Thank you, Mary. So hello, everybody. Really glad to be on the call with you. So I'd like to put a little context of how we see this healing and reconciliation fitting into a larger picture, and then get right into talking about the 4 steps of the healing and reconciliation process, and then working out a way to where you can get a taste of that. So the context that we see this in is that in order to create what we want in our lives, whether we talk about it in terms of goals or we talk about creating a life of connection or filled with compassion or whatever it is for you, there are going to be many conversations in order for that to happen. And the conversations are with yourself, the voices within your own head, and conversations with other people. And so what we have developed, John and I have developed a series of what we call maps that have as their foundation nonviolent communication, using the basic insights and distinctions, Marshall Rosenberg, which, by the way, we lay out in our recently published book, Choosing Peace. And we lay out a series of 19 distinctions for getting down into the nitty-gritty of being able to empathize with another person and empathize with yourself, the real nuts and bolts of empathy. So here we are. We want to get clear. We can use these processes also to get clear about where we want to go in our lives. Who are we and where do we want to go? And then how to get there. And healing and reconciliation is one of the maps that we've found through our formal mediation work, where we learned the lesson the most, is that often disputes in these conversations that we're going to need to have to create our world are the kind of everyday run of the day. They can be terribly disconnecting, but they're about strategies and about beliefs. But we were in these formal mediations, we were doing this, and we found in certain ones of these, we had a sense supporting the creation of connection among the people we were with, but there was something that wasn't happening. And then we kind of stumbled on to finding that people were often harboring hurt from past experiences, either with this person, with another person, maybe something that goes way back in their life. And that hurt was interfering with the capacity to create connection in whatever the situation was that we were with. And that if we shifted from mediating in our 5-step mediation model, which we also got from Marshall, and we shifted that to this 4-step healing and reconciliation model, that with permission of the parties, agreement of the parties, we tended to use words like magic. Not that it really is magic, but it has that quality of just happening, kind of transforming in front of our eyes. So we took that basic insight and began to work on it more, and we expanded upon Marshall's model, and we use it in formal mediation, but we focus on it when I'm in conflict with somebody else in two ways. One is when I am hurt and I've experienced that somebody else has done something and my interpretation of the world is that they have done this and it's hurt me and I want relief from that. So you can use the 4 steps to do a process. We call it the healing and reconciliation role play, which is what we've thus far found is the most effective way of doing that, of getting at that hurt for myself. And then I can often use that as a preparation to be able to go to someone who perceives that I have hurt them and make amends. And that's what we call the 4-step healing and reconciliation model, when I'm going to somebody who believes I have harmed or hurt them. But in order for me to go to them and try to restore and heal the relationship and to relieve the hurt for them, I need to not also be having hurt. Because if I'm trying to get heard by them and for them to see my hurt and how their conduct contributed to that, then I'm not going to be able to hear them. And what is crucial to this 4-step healing and reconciliation model when I'm going to someone else to make amends is that I don't need to have them hear me or empathize with me. So I do that work ahead of time. So what are the 4 steps? I'm going to give you the 4 steps from the perspective. There are here 3 perspectives, either as a mediator or the perspective of a person who's making amends to another person or a person who is receiving, so to speak, receiving overtures for healing from a person I perceive has hurt me. So I'm going to do it from the perspective of a person who is making amends with another person. And we find that of all the maps that we offer, that is the one that may be the most challenging for most people, the most challenging to learn. And it's all about you're facilitating in a different way than in other situations, and you need to be full of empathy yourself. And so if you're in a conflict with a person, often getting full of empathy within yourself is part of the challenge. But it is learnable. It's doable. All of this that we present, you have to practice it, but it is doable and it's learnable. And my joke about this, which is not a joke, which is makes the best jokes, is that if I can do this, person who spent 20 years as a trial lawyer, a high-stakes litigator in San Francisco and the federal and state courts, California, then you can learn it. So it is doable. So here they are. From the perspective of the person making amends, is first, number one, is to empathize with the person who is hurt and perceives that that hurt comes as a result of my conduct. So as the so-called actor, the one who did the conduct that has stimulated the hurt, and they're the receiver, I want to empathize so as to meet the receiver's need for empathy. Step number two is my mourning, that I mourn as the actor what my conduct has stimulated and what this person has gone through, regardless of whether it was my conduct or not, that I care about this person and that it matters to me that they have gone through and they have suffered what they have just been telling me during the step one, stage one. And that's critical. People in this process of reconciliation, they want their need for empathy, but then they also need to trust that this person who is now giving them empathy, who they have an enemy image of, in order to dispel that enemy image, they need to trust that the actor cares about them, that it matters what has happened, and that the actor is saying, yes, I did what I did. I did the conduct, and is not trying to explain or shy away from that. So that's step two. Step three is to express needs that the actor sought to be met. And this is an optional step. Sometimes the receiver is not interested in this. So you check with the receiver, and the facilitation language is something like, are you curious about what I was trying? You know, you might use needs if you're talking with someone for whom that language is familiar. If you're not, you use some other language. But are you curious as to what needs I was seeking to meet at the time? Because often the way it comes up, you're still in stage two, and the receiver says, and you kind of get a sense that the wheels are turning in their brain, and they're going, I can't reconcile this person who's just empathized with me and has just mourned with the person who did this conduct. And very often we hear people say things like, well, I don't get it. If you're saying that, how could you have done it? How could you have done it? And so that's the cue, if they do say something like that, that they're curious. But this is not the time for the actor to explain and to justify. It's for the actor to say what needs the actor was seeking to meet when he or she did the conduct that was distressing and that the receiver found hurtful. So it's kind of explanation, but it's an explanation that stays directly with needs. And sometimes it's a painful explanation because the needs that the actor may have been trying to meet really didn't include consciousness, awareness, or care for the receiver. But even so, what we found is that the receiver is hungry to have an explanation that makes sense, that reconciles with this empathy that they've just received and the mourning that they have heard. The fourth step is to restore the connection, and that's with agreements. Maybe there's some kind of agreement that one or both ask. The kind of facilitation question to get to that is, you know, is there something that I could do that would make this better for you? Because I would like us to be connected again. I would like us to be in a good relationship, whatever kind of colloquial language we use that we think is easy for the receiver to hear. And then we look for potential agreements. They can be all sorts of agreements. Any questions about that? The steps, just anything, if you have questions about that.
I was just wondering if you could just review the steps 1 through 4 in an ordinal fashion, just in a nutshell.
Okay. The number one, empathy for the receiver. The actor empathizes with receiver. Two, the actor mourns what he or she has just heard the receiver say, the impact of the conduct. Number three, the actor expresses the needs he or she was seeking to meet and did what is distressing for the receiver. And four is agreements that would restore the relationship.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else before we move on here? So there is another hand up.
My question is, based upon, from what I heard thus far, the person who has done something to hurt, you're referring to the actor as being the person who's done something that is received as hurtful. And my question is, I'm in a number of relationships where the person whom I felt was hurtful to me does not perceive that they have done something hurtful. They do not want to express any mourning. They do not want to do anything that restores the relationship. I'm in the position of feeling, quote, victimized by that because I have no leverage to make them want to see the situation differently, except to express my pain, which basically ends up being dismissed. My pain or my resentment or my upset that I have no leverage to have them dialogue about what could restore the relationship. Can you address that in
yes.
some way where the empathy of the person who acted is missing?
They're not interacting with you right now in a way that you trust they'll be able to do or be willing to do anything I've been talking about.
Or they have specifically and concretely said, screw you, I don't want to, basically.
So your confidence level is really high that they're not willing to do it.
So yeah, they basically dismissed or said, you know, that's your problem if you see it that
okay.
way.
Okay. So two things. One is to use these four steps in a different version, call it the healing and reconciliation role play, in which you would have someone with the skills to facilitate this process who would role play that person and you would play yourself as the person who's been hurt. This is something that we can do with people that are no longer available to us, either because they're still alive but they don't make themselves available to us, which is the category I'm hearing you talk about, or someone who is dead. They're not available in that way. But the interesting thing is that in doing the healing and reconciliation role play in order to provide forgiveness for yourself so you're not carrying around the load, I call it, and all these intrusive thoughts that arise every time you think of this person or they come into your life in some way or another, that you can get some relief from that. And one of the side benefits is that often you don't have to have them be involved in order to create the basis for restoring the relationship. The secondary thing is it also gives you an increased capacity to approach them in a way that you might find really satisfying, to where they might be able to hear you about whatever it is you want to be heard for after you've done the healing and reconciliation role play. Because it will change. If you do the healing and reconciliation role play, what you want from the other person will change significantly. At least that's what we found, and I predict it for you.
So the person who's taking the role play role kind of intuitively lets themselves act out?
And you coach them too, yes. They just play the role as they imagine it, but you can also stop, and we call it the flight simulator. We have a whole series of agreements around a practice that we call the flight simulator. And part of the flight simulator, just like if you were learning to fly a jet, is that you can stop and regroup and you can coach the other person and you can give them feedback and so on. Now,
okay.
the second option here is what I call the double PhD. And that's to facilitate the other person making amends to you. And I know you've said what you've said about this person's willingness, and of course I'm not in your life, so I don't know whether it would work in your life. But I have, on rare occasions, with very assertive facilitation on my part, facilitated somebody making amends to me. I report that to say that it is doable, but we don't try to teach it. And I think there are more effective other tools. I've already talked about them. Not the only one that we offer, this healing and reconciliation role play. To do this, there are two or three other maps that I would also suggest if you were working on, if you were in our training, you'd work with practice partners and so on.
Right. One of the options that I've been having some interaction with is expressing resentments, and that also doesn't get anywhere very fast.
Yeah. Using our flight simulator, you actually get to practice the different strategies that come to mind, and you get feedback from your practice partner as what's connecting and what isn't connecting. Because that's the fundamental insight, as I see it, that informs Marshall Rosenberg's work, Nonviolent Communication, is this insight is that first I need to create connection. And we have a lot of emphasis in trainings on the process of empathy, of empathizing, but that's not the only way to create connection. And the important thing is to create the connection and to notice when you have lost connection, to then focus on creating connection. Once you have connection, then you can do all the things that we want to do in our lives, that we want to collaborate and work with others to create in our lives. So it's to be highly sensitive to when I'm in connection, when I'm out of connection, and when out, to focus on reestablishing connection.
Even with an ex-partner or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's whoever it is. And I don't need this other person's permission for me to make amends. Let me just explain what I mean by that. Because I can go to someone who is feeling hurt by me. It's not your situation, but I'm explaining it for others that are on the line. You go to a person who perceives I'm hurt, and I raise the topic, and I get them talking about it, and then I keep saying, I just want to make sure I'm understanding how the impact on you and what is going on with you and how this has been for you. And they will tell you. And then you support just hearing them at the understanding level without trying to translate it into feelings and needs. And then just to pick up on the needs that they begin to express. Even people that know nothing about NBC will start saying need-related words, and then you just reinforce those and support them. And then when they've been heard, they will run out of steam. It's like deflating a balloon. So you haven't gone to them and said, I'm going to do a four-step process. You've just heard them. Now you have to do your work ahead of time. That's what I was talking about earlier. You need to do your work ahead of time so that you can be present with all of that pain that they are connecting to you and that you are not connecting to you. You're seeing that you did what you did and they had the reaction they had, and then you want to hear them. And then you go to step two, which is to have a human response of regret for what they've experienced. You're not saying, because I hurt you. You're just saying, wow, you know, it doesn't meet my needs for you to be in such pain, and I really regret the conduct that has stimulated all of this. And yes, I did say that, and I did do that, and not in any, not the next sentence, which we want to say, which is, but I didn't mean to, and I didn't realize it was going to hurt you, and I didn't do all that. No, you just say, wow, I want to be present with you, and I want you to hear how much it matters to me that you've gone through this difficulty. And yeah, I did do that, and this is not what I want to have for us in the future. It's not the way I want to be with anybody in the future, and I really want to learn from this, and I care about this. I care about you and how this has impacted you. That would be step two of going there. So it's not to just to go over it again. You asked for a little bit more detail. I'm hesitant to go over in more detail because the other people have already heard it and there is a recording.
Right. Okay.
So it's actually, so is there someone who has someone in their life that you would like to make amends to? Oh, we have a hand there.
So I'm having a difficulty with my girlfriend of 7 years, and part of it is a breakdown in communication and connection, and part of it is that I have not been proactive in my life to sort of come to grips with reality until recently. So it's like it's her frustration and discouragement, I guess.
Okay. So one of the things that we've found about, so this is our coaching for practice partners, because that's an integral part of our training, is for people to practice. And so setting up the starting of this flight simulator is for you to tell me the relationship, which you've done, girlfriend, and what is one thing, one or two sentences about something that you imagine she feels hurt about? Something you said or something you did?
Well, for example, there was one instance where my beloved dog had died, and this is not really related to what I said earlier, but and I was in a lot of pain. This was a dog that I had had since childhood, and I think I was quite prickly at that time in my life, and she feels hurt about the way I kind of pushed her away at that point.
What did you say or do that you're calling pushed her away? Just one of the things.
Well, I think she's not comfortable with pets. In my mind,
so
I felt
excuse me a second. You're telling me the explanation about the situation. And
okay.
What we found is in order to do this is really we need much less explanation than even I think that people need. My situation, they need more explanation, but I've really found that we don't need it. So did you say something to her or did you do something?
I was grumpy with her and kind of in my mind blamed her for me not spending more time with her.
You were grumpy and blamed her. Can you put words to what you said that you call grumpy?
Probably kind of short with her. I mean, I didn't call her names, but I was distant and kind of prickly.
Okay, so it was a series of interactions that you're calling short and prickly.
Yes.
So she might try to engage you, ask you how you are, and you'd say, I'm fine. Something like that?
Yeah, even grumpier than that, sort of in a bad mood and angry at her.
Leave me alone. Just leave me alone.
Maybe not that bad, but yeah, kind of like that out of energy.
That kind of energy, maybe not that bad. Okay, now you're giving me a sense. So I'm going to do two things. I'm going to play her, and I'm going to also coach you. So now I'm doing part of that. We're setting up this flight simulator, and I want to have an agreement with you about what coaching looks like. Because, you know, if I interrupt you without an agreement, you may have a different interpretation than I would like you to have about what and why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Okay.
So is it okay with you if I interrupt you?
Yes.
And a second thing, because it is a demonstration and we are time limited, we may not do it as completely as I might otherwise like. And I know there's no way for you to know what that's going to feel like at the time. But do you have the general sense now that you'd be willing to do this role play, even if that happens?
Certainly. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. So you come to me, you want to make amends, and you want to start the conversation. You know what? I'm going to change this whole thing. I wanted very much to demonstrate making amends, but I'm going to do it the other way. I will play her.
Okay.
And you're going to talk to her, and I'm going to play her with the skills to make amends to you. You see how I've switched it?
As if she did it to me?
Yeah.
As if I'm the hurt party?
Yeah, then that you're carrying some kind of sadness or hurt that you did this.
Okay.
Okay.
I am, actually.
So I'm girlfriend, and I'm talking to Alex, and Alex, remember when your dog died and it was really stressful for you and, you know, there was a sense that you were kind of short and prickly, but also the interaction, my sense is that you have some sense of hurt that I wasn't there for you in a way that you would have liked. Is that true?
It's true. It's true that I wanted to spend more time with my dog in her old age, and it was difficult for me to, I felt like I had to choose between you and her.
So there's just some kind of a little residual that's still hanging around that you kind of, maybe even resentment, but anyway, some sadness that you felt like you had to choose between. Yeah. And this, how is it now when you think about that? Is it still kind of poignant and sad for you that you didn't get to spend the time you wanted?
It is, yeah.
So just that you would have liked to have had this kind of special time with your dog in your dog's old age.
Yeah.
Is there anything more about that, of just the hurt that you have about that, that you'd like me to hear? Because I would like to hear it.
Right. I mean, it's not all about you. I also realized that I was very busy and I wasn't prioritizing her well-being and health. So it's not entirely you, but I feel really bad about the way the whole thing ended.
Yeah. So it's not all about me. And there's just some sadness about in you about not really working out the way you wanted. There's kind of some regret you have, some mourning that you have about not being with your dog to the same extent you would have liked to.
Yes, that feels like almost like putting balm on a wound, hearing that from you.
Yeah. Well, and I really want to, I'm very pleased hearing that. I want that for you. I care about you. Is there more that you'd like to tell me about this, or would you like to hear what my reaction to it is now?
I can hear your reaction, I think.
Well, I'm sad that this happened, that you didn't have, and I know how much you loved your dog, and that you didn't have the quality and the amount of time you wanted. So I'm sad about that. And I'm sad that we haven't talked about it until now.
Yes, me too.
So how do you feel hearing what I said?
I feel a sense of relaxation and a sense of reduction of tension kind of spread through my body and sort of a relief. It's odd because you're not even the person, but hearing those words is really is quite wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can hear a little bit more, I'd like to say some more about that.
Yeah. Okay, absolutely. Go for it.
It really doesn't meet my needs of care between us and the intimacy and the importance that you are in my life. It doesn't meet my needs to not have somehow or another been able to contribute more to you being able to have this, you know, the last part of your dog's life, to have that connection you wanted with the dog. How is that to hear?
Well, that's interesting, because as you started the sentence, I thought you were going to say, it really doesn't meet my needs that they can get so upset about it, about your dog, and kind of mistreat me, something like that. So the fear reaction was building inside of me, and then
right. You
went in a different direction.
Then I went a different place. Yeah, this is not at all about me wanting to justify or, you know, for you to hear anything about what went on for me, maybe at some other time. But right now, I just want to stay focused on you and for you to hear that for me, it really matters that you went through this and I care about you. How is that to hear?
That's really wonderful. Yeah, I can see how effective it can be.
So I'm curious if you'd like to hear what was going on with me.
Absolutely.
Back then. Yeah. Well, you know, of course, I can't remember it exactly, but I was caught up in my world, too. I was busy and thought, you know, that what I was focused on about my work and the various things that I was trying to do to get ahead and to, you know, get ahead in my job, but just to also do well in my career, my job, my school, my work, whatever it was. And I was focused on that. And I really regret that I didn't, you know, have the awareness and the kind of prioritizing the importance of our connection and seeing that our connection was influenced by your being able to be present with your dog in the last part of your dog's life. Are you willing to tell me what you heard? Just, this is not to reflect back, you know, exactly what I said. It's not some kind of test. It's just what you've heard thus far, so I can make sure I'm getting heard the way I want.
So it sounds like you said that it is important for you that our relationship is such that you're able to support me in different ways, and you regret not being able to do that yourself.
Yeah, to really see what's important to you and see how supporting you in what's important is really enriching me and enhancing my life and supports our connection. So, I think you got me.
Yeah, and this is very spacious and sort of open-ended because you're expressing an intention going forward, not just like, fine, I agree with what you're saying, let's move on, but like, hey, I care about you. I like it.
So that brings me to the idea, is there something that we could agree right now in our relationship to just sort of help bringing us back to focusing, and me focusing on the importance of our connection and the importance of really seeing what's going on in your life and what's important to you? Can you think of anything?
Well, I would love for us to have, I don't know how to do this, but maybe for us to have a more sort of structured, ongoing way of supporting each other around important projects in our lives.
Hmm. So maybe like some way of checking in with each other or something like that?
Right, and encouragement. And I don't
like
really
even maybe like taking some cues from work, like setting something on the calendar, maybe having, I don't know, agenda. I don't know how far you'd want to go, but I like the idea of having something regular and that we're reminded to talk about this.
Yes, that would be very helpful.
Okay. So how about we stop here? Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Now, what I like to do as part of the flight simulator is also to reflect upon what we've just done to kind of deepen the learning and the connection between the people that are doing this, you and me in this case. So I'll start that by just asking you, how was it for you?
That was really very powerful, considering it was coming from a person who wasn't present in that interaction at all. I'm surprised at how powerful the words and emotions that you expressed were in bringing about a change in the way I think and feel. I'm kind of struck by that.
Okay. Thank you for saying that. And if we had more time and we were going through this process a little bit more, I would want to delve into, are there specific times when I said things or way I said things so that I could learn and you could give me feedback, observations of when that was more connecting, less connecting. You did that once in the middle where you said, I was starting the sentence and you filled in the rest of the sentence and that was disconnecting. You didn't say disconnecting. That's my interpretation of what you said, but to actually seek that feedback specifically, at what point during the practice did either of the people participating in the practice, what did they feel, and the observation, what was said or done, so that both can kind of track back to that moment. And now we're giving biofeedback to the other person. We're telling them how we felt. And curiously, in NBC, we found that saying what your need is not so critical at this juncture of feedback, but giving the feeling is very valuable information for people to learn how, the person in my role, to learn how to better facilitate. Okay, anything else that you would like to say about
so
this before
the course,
we...
The course would be all the participants getting a chance to practice these things in their lives, basically?
I can't say that everyone that's going to participate is going to be able to do this online. But NBC Academy has a page where you can go to meet up and then have telephone calls with each other or Skype calls with each other. We go through, we deal with people's questions. We're essentially using the model of inverting classroom. We have videos that are on our website. You can look at the demonstrations on those videos, mediateyourlife.com, and then practice those with your practice partner, and then any questions, and then we'll deal with those, and then we'll take up new material, and we'll cover the new material. That's the basic structure of a class. We will have breakouts for people to practice the processes. Most of these healing and reconciliation processes are longer, so what you'll have the opportunity to do is pieces. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
And also the course will be covering more than just this process.
Absolutely. It covers all of the pieces that surround what we just did.
So we have just a few minutes. I'm wondering if anybody has any quick questions for Ike. If you have any questions about the specific process that he just walked through with Alex, we'd be happy to call on you.
Looks like we have one hand up, a couple of hands up.
I have a question. Language that you would use if you were trying to use this process with someone you don't have like as an intimate relationship with as like a girlfriend, someone who's more of like a colleague that you, you know, work with in a less intimate way, I guess.
In the same way, if you were going to make amends, it would be the same kind of thing. You raise the topic and you encourage them to talk about it, and you welcome them by demonstrating that you're hearing them. You empathize with them. But you empathize in a way that is not out of some kind of paint by the numbers, but you just show them that you're hearing them, often using their language, their words, and you let the needs float to the top.
Okay. And do you try to focus on those needs as
well,
the listener?
You just say them. You look at their body, and you know their urgency will dissipate. Again, this kind of deflation. When they're done, they will often sigh. They're done. They finished telling you what's important to them. It's a very rare thing for people to get, unless they're in this NVC world, and they love it. And you just use your language to hear them. But you have to have the capacity to not be sitting there holding yourself back from telling them that they're the ones really at fault or that it's not your intention. So you have to have done your work ahead of time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so my question was about number 3 in the 4-step process. I understand doing your work ahead of time. I understand really empathizing with the person who's hurting and who perceives you as the herder and letting them kind of let go of that hot air. And the mourning piece, okay, yeah, I'm sorry, you know, that this has happened. Number 3, though, if you can just help me with what I have written down here is express needs that the actor was seeking to have met. And,
yeah.
And it sounds more like you're kind of explaining what your needs were. If I'm getting it right, the actor is the person making amends.
Yes.
So it would be that, for example, I would say, you know, well, gosh, I really, it's very important to me to have comfort or to communicate.
At the time, you know, I said at the time I was focused on my work and my activity. I was using those as colloquial needs, you know, as my need for sustainability, you know, my need for well-being, my need for meaning or something like that. But I was focused on my work. I was focused on that. And so I'm trying to let the person know what I was saying yes to back then rather than paying attention to them and their needs. Does that help?
It does. It does. So my son who wants a car, I might say, you know, I'm focused on safety without diminishing their need for freedom.
Absolutely. Yes, that's the track.
Okay, so now with the agreement, you know, is there something I could do to make this better for you?
Well, it's
my
more
son
about
might say,
how can
get me
we...
a car, get me.
Yeah, I know, get me a car. But how can we restore our relationship? Whether or not there's a car, how can you and I? It's so important for me to be connected to you because I care for you deeply. And we've been in this tussle over the car. How can we care for each other, express our love for each other?
So that
and
into this other piece.
Well,
you said often you don't need to have them available to repair the relationship.
Yes.
I am caught on that. I'm stuck there, I think, because doesn't relationship, I mean, I get that sort of not harboring hurt from the past or not holding on to it, that can help. But isn't relationship in its essence about two people?
Yes, it sounds contradictory. And there's no way I can convince you of this, but we could go through a process and then you could see whether if there's someone in your life who's dead, who did some things some time back.
That I've experienced. That I believe. That part I believe. But I also believe that, you know, my teenager needs on some, he would have to on some level want to have the relationship repaired as well.
Yeah. Then I'm missing the question.
So
would you
when
tell
you
me
say
again?
You, When you say you don't need to have the other person available to repair
the relationship? Oh, if the person is available, then I want to engage that person.
And I'm saying, if
the person's dead, or as Sarah, I think it was saying, the person is dead, they are not available to interact on this topic, then I can still go through the healing and reconciliation role play. I can't make amends to them because they're not there to make amends with, but I can still go through the healing and reconciliation role play.
Oh, okay, I got it. There you go. And you may not have a relationship with the person.
They may be dead, or they may be out of my life. Yeah, I mean, we can't make people be in our lives. I don't have a process that works on that one.
Let me know when you do.
Okay, I will. You'll be the second person. I'll tell.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right. Thank you for your question. I'd like to give Ike a few minutes to talk about his upcoming course. So Ike, maybe we could just cover a couple of things. So the topic healing and reconciliation is similar to the process you talked about today. And you've already sort of discussed the structure of the course. So I wonder if you would just spend another moment or two and talk about what is the content to be covered in this class.
The content, we start always with self-connection practice, which is a way of when we become aware that we can then go through a process to return to presence so that we can be a choice. So that we can move from the lower brain to the frontal lobe of the brain where we plan, and we plan in accordance with our values. So self-connection practice, then the healing and reconciliation role play that I've talked about, the making amends that we've also talked about. Then we also do an exercise that we've found critical, which we call the intensity exercise, and it has a couple of purposes at least. But the key one I want to talk about is that it alerts us to when we're in those moments where we're experiencing adrenaline. Now, adrenaline is just a drug. It happens to be generated by the body, but you can also buy it, and the doctors use it in certain situations. And it has certain consequences. And one of the consequences is that it shifts us out of the prefrontal cortex where we plan and where we act in alignment with our values, and it drops us into a more primitive part of our brain where we react out of habit. And the thing about consciousness, humans, our consciousness does not tell us when this shift is happening. So the intensity exercise is a way of developing awareness of this shift. You know, what I would like is a heads-up display that said, warning, warning, you're shifting into the stress response because you've got adrenaline pumping into your body. So we have to get other bodily cues to inform us of this, and then consciousness can become more and more sensitive and aware quicker that we're in this stress response and that we can choose how we want to act. Because often hurt, just thinking of the situation and the person, can stimulate the stress response. The stress response is the only way our nervous system has to respond to challenge, whether it is a saber-toothed tiger on the savanna or whether it's a thought about this person that we believe has hurt us. So we get triggered into this stress response, and then we tend not to act the way we want. So that derails us, I would say, from being able to have the kind of conversations and the conversations that I want to have in order to create the world that I want. So if I'm having intrusive thoughts and if I'm getting derailed just when I think about this situation, then I'm now, at least during that time, not living the life I want. I'm not creating what I want in the world. So the healing and reconciliation is a way for us to bring peace and forgiveness, to restore connections, and to give us each individually relief so that we don't have someone who is in our world who is upset at us, and nor are we carrying the load around of upset and harbored hurt with regard to others. So I think I'll just stop there, and my answer is getting a little long.
Thank you, Ike. And I think with that, I'd like to just ask, is there anybody who has a question?
Clearly, the whole concept of the healing and reconciliation is so powerful, and that the importance of the sincerity and authenticity of the speaker, of the person who's trying to be facilitating this and all that, that's so important. You did a lot of the one-on-one as if it was just one other person, in terms of if it's doing as a third party, as the facilitator between two other people.
Right.
And if you talk about so much that the other person has to matter, or that I care about what you're thinking, or I care about that matter, and that
right.
sometimes, even in a colleague relationship or whatever, they might not really matter, but the idea of how hard it is to dig for something that does matter to both people, like perhaps in a post-divorce situation that they both care about the well-being of their children, even though they still can't stand each other, and how they need to do this. So this is not easy to do, but you're right, the idea of the practice, so it's great that your program will be able to do this.
In your world of formal mediation, what I do when I'm in that situation and I'm in the five-step mediation process, and it seems to be that in a marital dissolution situation, there's lots of hurt on both sides, is I might do the healing and reconciliation role play in caucus or in separate meetings before my joint session, mediation sessions. Or in the joint session, I might say, it seems to me this is going on and I have this other approach, but it is a shift from what we're doing now. Because as a mediator, you are more assertively facilitating than you would in the five-step process. I'm just saying that because I know what your work is.
Question. I like your idea of the shifting. Thank you.
Yeah. But shifting by agreement, that was the key thing I was trying to get to. Yeah.
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimonial about the process, and a very similar one that I was fortunate to do with Marshall Rosenberg, very similar to what you did with Alex tonight, Ike. And
yeah.
It was to do with my father, who I didn't feel I would talk to about this subject, my hurt and so forth in childhood. And I mean, it was incredible beyond anything I could have ever believed in terms of how it shifted me. I never talked to him about it. It was about maybe 20 to 30 minutes with Dr. Rosenberg pretending to be my father, and he offered amends to me. And I cannot tell you, something in me so deeply was nourished and felt healed by that. And our relationship shifted after that. We started to form a new relationship that just kind of was organic. And I think that a lot of that was because my yearning for what he could never give me and still couldn't give me somehow just let go. It was something was fulfilled by hearing somebody else tell me the things my dad could never tell me. So I just wanted to share that. I just thought that was extremely powerful. And because I've had that experience with this, that's why I want to take this course.
My heart's warmed hearing this. I love hearing that. Thank you.
Yes, I also would like to thank you. I cannot begin to express the value, the deep, lifelong value of healing our old hurts. And for many years, I thought that it wasn't possible because the other person wasn't going to change or be different or even admit to what had happened. But the truth is, when I did my own work, then I was able to heal my own stuff. And in doing that, I healed our relationship. Even if I didn't choose to be in relationship with that person anymore, I was able to break the connection to them, the painful, yucky connection, and in that freedom, I freed both of us. So really, I cannot express enough the power of this work that Ike and John bring in the course. And I want to thank you, Ike, so much for being on the call tonight. I appreciated your presentation. Ike, is there any final thoughts you want to say before I open up the line?
Nothing specific more than just to say, I look forward to hearing you online in this course. I'd love to support you in getting what you would like in your life.
Thank you, Ike.